First, I'd like to call to order a regular scheduled meeting of the Montclair Township Board of Trustees. If you could please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we have a couple of speakers with us tonight. First of all, we have Lieutenant John Leach from the Lucas County Sheriff's Department with his monthly update. John, if you can tell us what's going out there on the streets of Montclair Township.
I'm taking this opportunity to address the board trustees from Montclair Township, from the members of the community out here. First of all, I thank Montclair Township Department. So we've had two critical incidents within a short period of time that occurred. Unfortunately, they're both resulted in tragic endings. First one was over Shelburne Wreckery where a vehicle entered a pond. We've seen a great community come together as the members of the community waded into the water to try to assist this gentleman who was possibly having a medical emergency. And then members of the fire department showed up and the sheriff's office, and the sheriff's office went in and pulled the individual out of there. I said, in gear and all, went into the water and pulled him out. I said, unfortunately, that didn't make it. I said, but times like that, I said, the community came together. We've seen members of this general public pulling over the side of the road and hesitant jumping in the water to assist a fellow member of the community. And then fire department, I said, I can't thank everybody enough. I said, unfortunately, it was a tragic event. I said, but everybody, it was fantastic what it's seen as being, everybody came together to help one individual out. I said, it was quite a sight, and it was unfortunate that incident happened. So we'll get you more information as the investigation unfolds. As it's still an investigation of everything, waiting for a couple things to come back. Shortly after that, within about a 4-hour period there, we were back with another medical emergency over on a Clover Road. Another individual lost their life. Said it was set to event. I said with our officers involved, we thank fire for being there to support us and help us out along the way too. I said, but these are isolated incidents in our community. They do happen, and I just thank everybody that they come together and support each other and help us and get our job done to protect the community. Last month, we took 242 calls for service and 25 reports for the community. One of the things I wanted to follow all up was we had reports of gunfire. I did look into that quite a bit. It was actually fireworks. I said it's reported in, and so when I went through it, I was kind of confused. I'm like, turn off. I said, I didn't get any gunshots reports or anything. Report gunfire to me. So I actually went through calls for service. It actually came in as gunshots heard. It was and then turned out our officers responded to the scene, checked the area, and then it was fireworks being shot off, and that's what they determined was going on. So I do apologize because I was taken off guard. I'm like, I didn't know what you talked about when I was presented with about gunshots being fired. I'm like, nobody notified me anything about gunshots that occurred in our area. But there was a call for service and it ended up being changed over to fireworks for excessive violation of what the code is in there. We recently just completed Safety City with the fire department today. It was actually pretty nice. I said we had two officers out there, a sergeant and officers, and gave out a little flashlight for everybody. It was great for the community. I said we got some future, Sheriff's Department employees. I've seen them out there driving a little vehicle, doing a pretty good job at it. And too, they're pretty good out there. And it was nice for us to get back in the community in that way. And I see these city and teach these kids, stranger's danger, some of the things out there, and try to protect the community and get to these kids in a young age. And Ken said, it's getting used to the law. We're not bad people. We're here all the time. So if you don't be good, that person's going to take you to jail. So we're here to help. We really are. So we want to be like the fire department where they come by and every time they see the red truck running, they're out there waving and running, not running away from our cars, kind of run towards our cars. That's what we're trying to get to, and we appreciate everybody in the community for helping us out with it. You should see a bike patrol soon as our officer gets back from a leave, and so we try to target a couple neighborhoods along with some of the other communities in our area too, as you see some officers on bicycles in the area, because it's a nice way for us to interact with the community. Instead of us in the time, you actually get out and see us. They said, let's be rolling through your neighborhood on a bicycle and meet great people. Weather, hopefully it's nice out. It's been beautiful the last couple of days. So hopefully that kind of work will continue for us.
Your professor can help us with our committee report then. How, like, from neighborhood to neighborhood and where pieces of the connectivity might need to be helped. So.
Yeah, another question about, I was called earlier today about a roundabout, and I just jumped on the engineer's site and sent up. There's another one about to pop off. Anyway, I said, we keep getting these. I believe the game plans every intersection in this area is going to be a roundabout at some point.
It just seems every time it's gone.
But I do have good news there. The 28th, yes, is scheduled to be open up by the end of the month. I think it's the first week. I think I'm going to have a dignitary fairy fun that's coming up, I believe, to do the ribbon, as I was told today. So I may be getting some information as somebody from coming up to do that ribbon cutting ceremony for you guys. I will follow up with you as I get more information. That was given to me this afternoon, probably about 3 o'clock.
Residents have been asking me, and I said, well, I think it was slated for June, and now it's July. I'm guessing sometime in August.
August, we are done, like I said, because I know that so we do work, that you see our cars on, you know, the ones telling you can't go down that ramp or down that way.
Yeah, we're out there.
They are wrapping up. I said, this is our last week. And I know that they're just picking up, and they got to do some more paving just on the ramp itself, and it's scheduled to be open up. Because they just told me it was about 3 o'clock when I talked to the boss about it.
So can you send an email to the township with the exact date and time?
I actually, before I came in, I actually sent a text message off to them. I said, can I get the exact date and time?
Of course,
I can tell you, but I will give you, I will give you that. And then the ceremony, which they should be reaching out to you guys for the ceremony.
They reached out to us about our logo because they want our logo present along with mommies. They are already communicating.
And I will let you know, I said, who that person is.
It'll probably be during the day, right? Probably. They're not going to come after I'm sure. Okay.
You never know. I know there was some concern today earlier about a big yellow plane flying in the area.
They're doing spray.
It was a crop duster that was up.
My husband sent me a picture.
Yeah, they were diving down low, and got calls in at people. It's a crop duster.
He says, nice to it next to the airport as the plane's coming like 10 feet over my house.
It was coming over there, but it was nothing to be concerned about. That's what it was. Definitely was a crop duster. We checked with the tower, and they tracked that as well. So, and I talked with 40 PD. Do I have any questions from the board?
No, just I got a couple of one text and one email about one was golf carts, the other one was dirt bikes they had riding in the street, and I just told them they were inquiring about a non emergency.
No, I asked the call anytime.
Said this
call,
is it just 911.
That's what we're there for.
Because we've been discussing those electric bikes. Sometimes they like to go down the middle of the road, and they have to be plated, I think, is what you told us last time.
Yeah, I said they get over to certain speeds.
Speed.
I said they have to be plated.
Yeah, there's a class 2 only goes up to 20 miles an hour.
Yeah,
class 3 goes over 20, and those actually have to be
licensed. Yeah, it's just like a motorcycle. And then, unfortunately, sometimes the young people kind of go through and just run down the middle of the roadway everywhere, mm-hmm. and then they don't realize how dangerous it is. We don't live in that video game world. So you get the respawn or something.
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Any questions of the public? Have any questions for the town age?
Thank you.
In attendance tonight, we have two representatives from the public services. Is it Nugent Barreau?
Yes, that is correct.
Who's their general manager, and Rochelle Bowen, the municipal manager. Rochelle, you've been here before.
Yes. Good to see everybody again.
Good afternoon. I am Anujit Barwa. I am the general manager for Republic Services. First of all, thank you very much for having me here. Of course, I wish we would have met in the better circumstances, but nevertheless, I'm always happy to be here. Particularly, you guys are a very valued customer. So, just wanted to come here, be present, and then answer any questions you have. I think before anything, I just want to address a couple of things which came to our notice, mostly about service related. I think we did identify one of our supervisors was brand new, logistic analyst was brand new, which led to some things, you know, didn't go as planned. So we immediately made changes to it, which is a testament. Like last week, we did really complete the service really well. Our goal is always to, you know, provide the utmost service. There are days when we are not able to. We learn from it, and then we try to make the best of it. So any questions you might have?
No, In talking with Administrator Grimm, who I know has talked to your folks, that your challenge with driver shortages and vacations, things like that, and you know, any advance notices that we might get that you know we can pass on through either our social media channels and or alerts, just to let the folks know that hey, they're behind, they'll whatever, if they missed it on a Wednesday, they'll be by late Wednesday or Thursday morning, things like that, so we can keep the lines of communication open so the residents don't get frustrated and call us.
No, I totally understand. I think that is an opportunity. We will make sure moving forward we will communicate ahead. I don't foresee any challenges, but there are sometimes unavoidable circumstances halfway through the road. A truck might come, right? In places. We are very well aware, and we can immediately communicate.
Right, I think it's one off isn't a problem. One off, you miss this neighborhood because a truck breaks down. It's that it was consistently a problem. Right, it was weeks and weeks of missed routes. And you say you've discovered the issue and you're going to correct it. I was out on garbage day. It's kind of annoying to be out on garbage day, right? Walk in with the trucks. You're like, whoa. What's so interesting to me is that your equipment just leads to issues. You know, you pick up a trash can and then you dump it. And if he doesn't get that just right, part of trash goes out onto the street. And if he's not a go-getter kind of driver, that just stays on the street. And then you take the trash that's filled down here and you have another opportunity for it to spill out when it goes there. Like, I would think you guys could come up with a better system for getting trash into the right spot.
So I have a question, because it's always been this way. Do the wheels go closer to the curb or closer to the street when you set out garbage? Because I've seen them both ways.
WTH, wheels to the house.
Wheels towards the house. Okay.
That's wheels
right. The right. House. So do it towards the truck. It's probably the lid.
I've seen them both ways. If you drive down,
it just seems to be
wheels,
a better system.
The wheels are towards the street when they dump it. All the stuff pours onto the lid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, and that's how I think so. So the thing is, maybe we should make sure we put it in a newsletter, Kathleen. What his little abbreviation was?
We put it in the newsletter that the metal bar should be parallel with the street, facing the street. Yeah. It's the easiest way.
WTH. I like that.
What that?
Yeah. I like that. I think with people in the audience.
Doug, you had any questions for the public?
No, I was telling earlier I had some calls about liquids leaking, and it was the same day that we had a rain on Monday or Tuesday, and it was all water coming out. It was nothing they did, so we followed their trucks to make sure it wasn't hydraulic fluid, and I think I told Harold that, and everything was good.
We need to have a little bit of patience. And when our residents complain, you've done a beautiful job of saying, hey, this was a specific situation, and please be patient with us. And right? So I want to give you a little bit of patience and a little bit of grace. It's got to be a really tough industry. But it just seemed, and I didn't ask for Harold to reach out or anything like that. It just seemed like, wow, like, every week we're missing routes.
We were getting calls saying, okay, I pulled my garbage in. Should I pull it out? I pulled it back out to the road. I pulled it back in.
I love Chuck's idea. Like,
she says that she had actually been missed for 3 weeks. So that's a lot of the feedback we were getting.
I get it. My apologies that you had to.
It's not like you're out driving the garbage trucks. I realize.
But I think like we certainly, our standards are higher, right? Like we know ahead of time if something has happened. So communication is key, and then we will make sure it's well communicated moving forward.
Right. We need to make sure everybody has our back, too, so they can hear it.
Thank you for your time, though, too.
Good Did you have a question?
I had a couple, but it's nice to meet you. Because you actually called me. I'm Deb Polly. I live right down the street here on Elbed.
I talked to you a couple times, Deb.
a couple different things. But we were one of the people that, because we're on that little cul-de-sac, mm-hmm. the metals in Monclova, we were missed several times. And I stopped by and I kind of talked to you, Mr. Grimm, and you contacted Republic, and within. Because if they hadn't come that Wednesday, which I called, talked to someone here earlier, and they're like, yep, no, for sure Wednesday, and then you'll be back this Wednesday, if you're back in your regular cycle. And it was getting like toward the end of the day last week, and I came up here, and like, they're never coming. And then you made a phone call, and within minutes or a little bit, you reached out. And we did get picked up that day, but
good.
I feel like had I not maybe come in and pushed for it, because I also communicated with our little seven neighbors, and they were frustrated as well, and said they had trouble getting through. So I know you've had like a situation, and hopefully it's addressed. And so, but I just wanted to come up and kind of express my concern and then my appreciation for addressing it. So
we need your help, right? We can't do it without you calling and saying, hey. You want the calls, right? You yeah. want to know it was
we
missed.
We
Harold loves, Kathleen loves when you call and say, hey. And if you have the app,
I do.
You can use that. You
I can't communicate through the app, right? I have individually emailed.
The app goes, right.
The priority with that is if we tell people through our app or through social media that you're going to be back on Thursday, and then if you don't, we just lied.
Yeah. And that's what I would do. Because I said, they said they'd back, and then they must not show up. Because
right.
I know you and I had numerous conversations, or three at email for this.
Right.
And that's when I told you they're going to be here tonight, so
right.
I'm glad you came.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for telling me that.
And she was wonderful on the phone, which I don't know if I would have been as wonderful after 3 weeks of missing track. I understand that. But I want to, if I may, Bob,
yes,
hit a couple things. When the garbage falls out of the truck,
yes,
9 out of 10 times, because it's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
So why?
Yes, this was not bad. This was. I
now think about
that's
it.
What I said to myself too. If that would have been bad, I did say that as I'm watching.
I
gotta go up and give my 5.
Sorry, I am.
Guidelines do say no
loose
trash.
And if you think about it, it's windy out here,
yeah.
right?
Right.
And you got a 3 to 4
no,
foot
no,
window.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if my guy does it fast. Some of them do. Or slow, it might happen. But they're supposed to be, is it every 7 to 10 seconds, left, right, center, rear? So they should notice it. But again,
he got out and picked up at least a portion of it. Yeah.
And again,
the stuff that was right in front of him.
Anything we do, there's nothing sexy about trash. It's just not. And we all know how hot it's been.
Yeah.
We all know what it's like to get in your car and turn that air on. They get in the truck and it's still 120 degrees even with air conditioning on. So even though it's an excuse, I just kind of wanted to say, if it was bagged, it probably wouldn't help.
And you're right, we can do a better job of saying loose trash isn't acceptable.
And
be,
she
it'll
does.
Be on your
wonderful.
Loose
with the
trash. What WTH and loose trash will end up on your streets.
LTS.
But you can't put recycle on your
trash.
No.
Yeah. So I think that's what sometimes
and
that
again,
does happen, too.
Yeah, and again, and communities don't like this, if it's really windy, hold your recycling, because it's not going to be a win-win for anybody on a 40, 50-mile-an-hour day.
Okay?
Okay?
Yes.
All right. Well, Raj, thank you for I'm sorry, I moved.
That's all right.
Thinking of our connectivity.
Yeah, people normally remember me, Ted Nugent. So that's how they remember me.
How is
rock
that?
Star.
The rock star Ted Nugent.
Yeah, I know who he is, but how are you?
Nugent, is that
oh,
his
name?
That's
okay.
Nugent?
Nugent.
Yes. That's how people always remember me.
Okay.
Nugent.
That's so cute.
That's good.
I'll just say Ted.
Thank you. And thank you for your commitment on behalf of all of
yes.
the people.
Yes.
Thank
you
for
your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
Our residents are glad they're valued, so we appreciate you saying that.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll see what happens on Wednesday.
Come on, we'll cross our fingers. Can I start Harold? Don't jinx us.
Wednesday was wonderful.
Harold, can I just say the new neighborhoods are probably hard for their logistics and drivers and what have you. Can we do anything better? Can we highlight, look, right off Elbin Road, is the same happened at Elbin and Salisbury, that development, they got missed.
So
it would be hard.
It's kind of confusing.
If we can do anything you can think of to because we are growing all the time.
Something Eric does, and he probably has already forgotten, he gets building plans in Stony Creek. We change some of that stuff so the trash trucks have room to turn around and get trash in front of the houses. And I couldn't tell you the address, but that's one we just did.
So we did the Stony Creek Platte 5.
See,
do you give it to Republic that this is the new plat?
I don't have any files for Republic. I like I to maintenance so that they can look at it for turnarounds. Fire gets it as well.
We make sure that there's a place that truck can turn around.
Yes, and I'm saying
that's
it would
correct.
Be helpful if they saw it then and knew this was part of their route. But you all decide.
I think that our supervisors do in cabs and follow ups monthly anyways. They should be noticing that. So if Harold and Kat escalated to me, I'm driving through the community. So please, anybody, if you have a black Jeep Cherokee with red head in it, don't pull me over because I'm usually trying to find out.
He laughed already.
Thank you.
Just drop our names and we'll give you a ticket for sure.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for coming, Doug.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Yes. You absolutely can.
We did have a public hearing scheduled at 5:30 for a street lighting district that would like to be continued, so I'll make a motion. Or no, we don't need a motion for that. We can just, that's going to be continued to August 18th at 5:30 for the Stonegate Street Lighting District. All right, our field officer has submitted bill. So
I've got it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
$537,748.
No, that's why I'm handing it to you.
$537,568.39 for the attached list for payment. Make a motion to pay those as submitted.
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Lang.
All right. We've got a couple of motions to increase appropriations. So I'll make a motion to transfer $22,000 equipment and $25,000 contracted services from 360.0 to increase appropriations to those funds, and also to transfer $22,024 from property insurance premiums to other insurance benefits in the same amount.
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On motion, Vickery.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Hey, Chuck,
you
didn't do anything about the agenda
additions.
Or do we have
any
agenda? We didn't change.
We didn't. Well, we're just having an executive session at the end of the meeting to discuss a real estate transaction, economic development, and employee performance review. So,
I can
ask to approve, dispense with the reading of the minutes and approve them as submitted by the fiscal officer for our July 7th meeting.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
We did receive a correspondence from Mr. Joseph Ballmer regarding striping on Mount Clover Road. Harold, if you'd respond to him about my conversation with the county that helped. Either the county or the subcontractor take care of that in the next 30 days. All right, Gavin, you got. We also have something from the Village of White House about our JED receipts for through the first quarter of 2025.
Correct.
Yeah, and you weren't here at our last meeting, and we asked that you explain the mommy ones to us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was ready for that.
You were going to do that?
Yeah.
Wow, great.
So, I think the confusion was...
It's always that they take the money out above the line.
So, Mommy sends us one, and you guys were looking at the Toledo one, so you asked, what's the 32,028 project split? well, the $32,000 was what had to be taken out because we paid the project ourselves. It gets deducted from their distribution, and they, because they get to do a loan. We did. We paid. We wrote. We wrote a check.
There shouldn't come out before they pay us. It should be
that is there. That isn't our. That's below the line. We don't get a. We don't get anything from there.
Okay.
It's not up there. It's below the line. It's out of their proceeds.
Okay.
If you see, we get a check.
No, that does not look that way to me on that.
We get a check for $73,000 the last quarter from Maumee and from Toledo. We got the same check from each of them.
$140,000 approximately.
Approximately, yeah. So.
And they get.
So the way it happens is I say this right. The JADZ we get paid directly. The CETA we get paid indirectly. They distribute, the CETA gets distributed to Maumee and Toledo, and then they have to cut a check to us. The JADZ comes directly from the JADZ. The confusing part is you get the correspondence for both of them on the same piece of paper. If you got one piece of paper for one and one piece of paper for another, it would make sense. But that's not how it comes out.
So they combined
way.
It? One?
We get
CETA
one.
And the JD? Okay.
Yeah, that's how the correspondence fits. So.
You're sure it's accurate?
You know, you're always never supposed to say you are sure it's accurate. It's been reported that way the whole time and what we agreed upon.
Okay.
What it appears to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't believe we have any older new business
I have one question though for Gavin. That we got this is a different JADD, right? With White
this
House.
This is with White House.
This is the
right.
Andersons.
Yeah.
So, can you just kind of briefly?
Yeah. So the Andersons, we.
This one's super clear.
Yeah.
This one I can understand.
So they have a big job creations grant. So we hold and we hold and we hold to make sure we have enough money to pay back the jobs creation grant.
Okay.
Because the first year we were, you know, White House who administers it, you know, did some distributions, and then the jobs grant came back, and we didn't have enough cash.
Okay.
So that's why you see withholding from third quarter, fourth quarter, first quarter. It's to get enough money to make sure that there's that jobs creation grant line there. Then when that's done, there's the distribution at the bottom, 75% to us, 25% to White House. Then you'll see 10% goes to a maintenance fund. And that's what is being used for part of the sewer project here. And there's going to be more money in there to do other projects for properties that will benefit that JEDD.
So that's a pretty nice JEDD for White House and for us.
Yes.
And what year are we in at? About 7 or 8 or 8? The job creation grant is like 10 years old, or 15?
August 15.
Halfway.
Is it that long, right? 7 or 8 years?
I don't know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Like I said, the older new business items, we'll get into our departmental reports. Eric, you had another busy month, looks like.
Sure. Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, it's been a busy month again. I had 4 new residences, 7 fences, 4 decks, 3 pools, 2 sheds, 3 garages over 1,000 square feet, 1 alteration, a zoning verification letter, 2 additions, a conditional use application, and then a zoning application. And then the rest of my report is information if you have any questions.
I asked my question prior, so I'm all set.
Okay, sounds good.
And we did on our projects list, the 28 property with the land bank, is that still moving forward?
It is. I talked to the woman from the land bank last week, and it's looking like there is going to be some money from the state of Ohio, but they don't know exactly, they're kind of keeping things track of that. They don't know exactly what that's going to be yet. And the lien holders are notified currently, and that's part of the process before we can tear it down. So it's going forward.
Okay.
There was a couple, I was trying to find them here. I should have marked them, sorry.
Okay.
There's a couple items going in front of the zoning board and the zoning board of appeals.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was trying to remember which one that
it'd
was.
It'd be on page one or two.
Okay.
The key.
Oh, yeah. It's zoning change. You're right.
Yeah. Well, the plate commission says notice, I'm always shocked.
It's not very often,
well,
yeah.
Happened at Notre Dame Academy, and now this isn't really a no. No, scale it back.
Yeah, they want it from a C.
C2 to a C1, yeah.
So what would be the difference? I guess the reason, what?
So
why the difference in the C1 to the C2s?
Taco Bell.
Yeah, C2 could be Taco Bell or a full-scale grocery store. It could be like McDonald's, Applebee's, dollar stores. C1 is more like a hair salon or maybe, you know, a small, like a music studio, barber shops, little ice cream stores, stuff like that. Some more neighborhood.
Okay. I think that was the only question I had on
Okay.
All right. Assistant Chief Younger, everything work out of no injuries over at Deer Hollow or Deer Valley?
Yeah, no injuries. I apologize on behalf of Chief Holmick that he did not make the 4:45 meeting because of the structure fire.
Residents come first.
I was able to get here. I agree, but I know we had. You know, we tried to get back fast enough for it, but we just couldn't. He's still over there with the state fire marshals, but yeah, no injuries. It was contained to the garage. Unfortunately, the cars were in there, but overall minimal damage compared to what could have been. I'm going to continue with the report.
Yeah.
Okay. Tree called me on my way back, asked if I could sit in here. As Lieutenant Leach said earlier, we did start Safety Township today, so that was great. We have 24 kids in it. They had all kinds of fun. I got to go over there and be the one working outside and in the village where they got to draw ours, so I got hit by attention every one of them at some point or another, so that was fun. But in June,
are you at school?
We're at the community center.
Yes.
Yep. We tried to do the school, but they're putting a new roof on the building, so we weren't able to coordinate the time. So maybe next year. In June, though, we did do 200 incidents. Takes us year to date to 1,177, which it keeps us on pace for a record year. You know, it's 6 months through a year, so that's looking at over 2,200 calls potentially by the end of the year. Our mutual aid and audit have pretty much stayed consistent every month as far as how many times we give mutual aid automatic to other neighboring departments and how often we receive it from them, depending on the type of calls. Again, most of our calls are EMS, as we talk about every month. And then there is just one item presented for action regarding the shift leader designation that I know has been talked about months about putting somebody into a leader position on the other side of the building to lead that crew each and every day, make sure the chores are getting done, make sure the tricks are getting done, the assignments and all of that, and then also having that role after hours and on weekends until Chief Fry could arrive on scene if it's something major. So that's what that action item is about.
So the shift leaders, I know we've discussed this before because when people were not here on the chief or assistant chief, who was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I brought this question up numerous times, and they said, well, who's ever sitting in the right seat of the vehicle is in charge, and I didn't think that was a very...
And this is going more in depth than saying we're going to label a person who's in charge on that shift. So it's not just what happens to
fall.
I
kind of drew all this, and you know, there's a lot involved in this. So obviously it's only who's ever on that shift is going to be shift leader. It has to be a full-time individual full-time with Montclair Fire Department, and do they apply, do they pick, do they...
So it says in there, so the way it is they will submit, da, 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 da. Anyone, any firefighters interested in serving, the role to submit a letter of interest, and then we'll review those. And the shift leader designations will be added in the daily staffing schedule.
And who is going to be reviewing the who is going to be assigned, signing, who is going to be a shift leader?
Myself, Chief, and probably Harold.
What committee?
Is any of the union going to be involved in this?
They are welcome to be involved, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, though, they could be part of the shift leader, so they can't sit on the committee.
And that's where it comes tricky, because if they're interested in being on it, we can't have them on the committee to say, yes, I pick myself.
Yeah, pick my, that's what I was wondering.
I know we've talked in our meetings with them on this position. They're 100% on board.
Right.
How to pick the people. That's why I said my initial thing was just the three of us, because I can't put some there necessarily that wants to be in
the
position.
Sit on it?
But they're not against them being on there. It is somebody who's not interested.
I just
If it's somebody that's not interested in being in the position but would like to have input for on behalf of the union.
Well, just I guess a question. So we have a handful of part timers with 20 plus years experience, but they're still part timers.
So this lead position is not nothing in there is specifies it has to be full time.
Okay.
Because we have part-time, we have Lieutenant Miller is a part-time lieutenant.
Yeah.
We have Captain Casey is a part-time captain. They're in officer position. We're not saying, well, your position doesn't count anymore in this. So this is not eliminate that. This is a lead for the position we don't have those in. And then moving towards getting that acting officer and then that officer. And when we get to the officer, that's going to be a full-time person who's here 24/48 and all that. But this is not specify that it has to be a full-time person because we do have part-timers that are more.
That's what I was
going to
say. If somebody's a shift leader, but one of our lieutenants or our officers come in, who's going to take the precedence?
They will.
The officer or the
they
shift
will.
Leader?
Absolutely the officer.
Okay. So
and the officer will not, well, and the way it works, because if it's one of the part-time officers, they're not going to get the premium pay on top of top. They're going to get an officer pay.
Okay.
The premium pay is for the firefighter that's being put in that position.
But that shift thought might not always be the shift person if one of the officers are on that shift
correct.
With them.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, the officer, if we have part-time officers working, they're going to be the ones in charge. Like
that's
they are
what I was
now.
Wondering.
We're, like I said, we're not taking that away from anybody. And that's why this shift lead, nowhere in it specifies they have to be full-time because we have, like you said, we have a lot of qualified part-time that can step into that lead position.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when we get to the officer is going to be a full-time person who's here. Every third shift.
Are eventually those shift people or whatever going to be? We've been at the classes, advancing some of the fire guys into a leadership position as a lieutenant or captain or.
Absolutely, and that's the plan. This is like a stepping stone thing.
That's
so we're starting with the lead. Yeah. We're looking to get into acting officers to get them additional training and experience, and then into those officer positions.
Into an officer, I mean, if we have there's a time schedule that so many, what is it, like 18 months or something before they can advance or something like that?
I can't specify
what
that is. I don't know off the top of my head. But we do have, there is a plan in place. We're working on building that officer development.
And that's why this took so long. You need certain experience of this. I need to authorize the fire department to establish a position for a shift leader with a premium pay, $1.50 an hour at the employee's base hourly rate as compensation for the duties and functions as submitted in the position description shift leader presented today.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Harold, does this need to be added to our contract or is it just an addendum or anything? Or?
This is outside of the
it's not a new position because it's just premium pay. So I believe Lauren said it doesn't need to be.
Right.
Aren't in the
correct, but I believe Warren said it didn't need to be added because it's not a position.
It's just premium
pay.
Yes.
And then, Tom, Lieutenant Leach mentioned we had a couple of unfortunate incidents where folks have lost their lives.
Correct.
Are all of our crews aware that if they need any counseling or we have assistance programs available?
Absolutely. We've been in touch with everybody on those crews, touch base with them, making sure they're fine, making sure we point them in the right direction if they need any additional assistance. So. They are all fully aware. Absolutely.
I appreciate the reports you all have added to try to clarify what you do on calls. They are a vast majority of the best calls. You give me a little bit of information, and now I want more. So Are those reports fairly easy to add columns, like addresses or other things I might
not necessarily?
Not necessarily. So have a,
because these are all coming from our program, so they don't necessarily
right.
have that. We can
right.
reach out.
Like salespeople have. You're, I'm
but
sorry.
There's some like ESO, which is our who we do our fire reporting through in our EMS reporting. If they have it already created, ask for them to create. That can take months for them to actually write it to create. But I mean, if there's something specific you're looking for,
yeah.
let us know. And
I'm
happy to see if the report's available.
If it yeah. can easily have another column, like I can adjust my reports pretty.
Yeah, there's some additional information available. I'm just saying, depending on what you're asking
right.
for, I can't say for sure. All yes,
right. I
can do that.
I will get with you.
But let me know. We'll get you whatever you'd like.
Okay.
Are you doing the scheduling now?
I am.
Okay. Because
I've been doing scheduling, and I just recently took over payroll.
Because I noticed the overtime hours have significantly dropped. So I was wondering, because it's like somebody's doing a good job putting people in places, that if you look at overtime hours now, that they're significantly gone down.
A lot of it is because of where we're at with staffing. So we're not having, last year we were forcing, there were people that were being forced four times in a month. And now if I have one force in the month, I mean, we have a lot of voluntary right now as opposed to forces,
okay.
which is good. People are volunteering and picking it up. But one thing I do a lot is I reach out to our part-timers. They get a ton of text messages from me saying, hey, I got an opening on this day, can you work? Hey, I got an opening on this
How's
day,
the response
can you work? Because I'm like, everybody, not everybody can answer their phone. It doesn't matter where you are. You're going to look at your phone on a text message, right? And so I text them a lot, and then I get responses. And sometimes they're like, yep, I'll take it. And other times they're like, no, I can't pick up that day. Okay, I'll think about you next time.
Yeah.
And
so
I'm not afraid to reach out to them.
I was wondering who was doing that.
Worst case is you tell me no. And I'm like, all right, I'll move on to the next person.
Because the overtime, before it was like 96 hours on one shift and things like this. And when you look right now, you had the 22 and the 16. And I realize there's a lot of vacation, Kelly days coming up and things like that. So I just want to... I didn't know exactly, so I just wanted to say, you're doing a great job. I'm keeping overtime down. Part full-time people might, but it definitely helps with the department and the benefits
Absolutely.
And things. So you're doing a nice job shuffling people in and out and doing the overtime hours.
Thank you. And I give full credit to our part-timers because there's a few of them that when they put in their hours, then they come in and sit in my office and say, okay, I put in the hours, but tell me where you really need me. So they're flexible to where I'm like, well, we're full here, but I really need somebody here so I don't have overtime there, put me there. So we got some really great part-timers that are willing to move around too to help us with the overtime.
Thank you. And and to the people filling in on those.
And
any other questions?
Yeah, since Chuck wasn't able to join us in a working session, will you put him back on for the meeting on the 4th? We'll talk about that.
Perfect. I will let him know that he's on for that.
All right. Doug.
How's it going?
Things quiet in the cemetery, I hope.
I can't answer that. Come on now. No, you've read my report. We got a lot going on. We had an assignment of checking out lights for Toledo Edison. You see the breakdown there. I have not given the complete address to Zernig and Harold yet. I got that day, and you take a month and you pay for it. So I'm still currently paying for that week off. But we had 54 lights out, 5 missing poles, and 6 missing tops or lenses. They wanted to know if they were LED or whatever. If they're out, how do I know? I'm guessing at that point. Do I know it's a bulb? Is it a photo cell? I don't know. I'm not Toledo Edison. They got to do some of their own work. So we took guesses at it.
We want it all replaced with LED anyway. We don't want it replaced with...
The high pressure sodium, yeah.
Right. So
tell
I don't tell them. That's Harold tells them. I don't.
Harold, tell them to bring LED.
We signed agreement.
Yeah.
To that
but the people on the front lines might not be aware of the agreement.
Mm-hmm. So
I got it.
Our guys went in 3 days and collected information. Some of us came in at night. Some of us came early in the morning to go through the township. Then when I say like. These guys worked their tails off, they really did, because it's really hard to get up at 10 o'clock for till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, go to bed for a few hours and get back. If it's snowplow season, you know, storms coming, you can prepare for it, so it's a little different. But the guys that were out there doing it, and I went out with them too, they killed it. So that streetlight stuff, we've been busy doing a lot of more repairs than we've ever done. And I think Barbara seen us doing a basin repair.
I was in a photo.
Yeah, so if you see the extent of that repair versus what normally has been done, it's a little different. Not that they didn't do them like that in the past. I just think we're getting a little more aggressive and taking a little more over in-house. Harrod can probably speak to that with us.
And you want a fine job at that.
Yeah.
Rather than being in the shovel.
No, she was holding it down.
I think my finger was off.
So I'm happy with the team that we've built. And I talk about it every time, right? Our guys and girl. The thing that we're building isn't just basins. It's teamwork. It's I'll bring a 10 in this day. I got water free this day. So the group is doing really well. And I'll quit talking about that. Building stuff. The Dotson company gave us a quote for fixing the front ramp of the fire station. I have a proposal for that. I don't know if you guys have read it. It's the tune of like $770,000.
Is that under the bid process? Is it like
$75,000?
It's below the threshold. Okay.
So Ben Dotson's been out. He did our building. He's been out here talking to the crews about the fire station stuff. When he was out here, I grabbed him and said, come take a look at this. What he thought and what I thought are the same things. We talked about leaving the ramps open, and it's an easy group to work with. For this job, I like them because they have all the bits and pieces. We don't have to go to this subcontractor to get this and that subcontractor to get that. It's all a one-stop shop. The problem is a rain gutter to a spike that then eventually they go out. Somewhere that's broke. Where we don't. But there's a crack that goes across the whole station.
That's where the big caulk is.
So they've been chasing that caulk line forever. And I was looking at our drainage pipes, and I'm like, well, hey, our downspouts aren't hooked up to them. And then I started to think the northwest corners, we're constantly caulking that. Why are we caulking? That doesn't make sense. So what's happened is that pipe broke. The only way to fix it is to tear it out and go back in and find the break. That fixes the problem. Then we got to fix the other secondary problem, which is that caulk. We don't fix that. We have big infrastructure problems in the building. Right, we lose part of our building. So that's the bads. The goods of it is they're willing to do a 24-hour fast set concrete, which means basically we can pour 8 inches in 2 bays, tear up these 2 bays, and it'll be a couple day process once we get to the pouring stage. But we'll tear up, fix this one, get them, then we'll go next to the next two, right? To keep the fire station still functional.
You don't know where the leak is. Why do you think you have to do all of that?
Well, because the ramp for one is all tore
up. It's all cracked.
It's all cracked, and if I say yeah, let's just do the two that are broke, we don't know which two it is. And if we fix it here, it doesn't mean it's not broke there. It's kind of one of them.
That's kind of weird that it goes across almost every single door.
Yeah. So my bet is, and I don't know this, your aerial truck weighs probably in the area of 74,000 to 75,000 pounds. Fully dressed, it's probably
with everything in it, water and everything.
Mm-hmm. That's probably 4-inch pipe. We don't know. It's probably a Schedule 40 pipe. And it was the same thing that the county in the septic line issue, or you didn't use this, it's put stone down, you didn't tamp it the right way. It's probably the same style of issue, right? They probably put stone down, they probably tamped the top 10 inches and poured concrete over it. Well, it's good until it's not. So all that truck, thaw freeze truck doing this, I'm betting it separated those pipes. We have one in our parking lot now at maintenance that we'll fix in the house. It's a whole different situation, but it is what it is.
And it's been cracked for years.
Yeah, it's not like a new thing. It's
right.
Just
it's just
showing its face. It doesn't get better. So I talked to Gavin early on with the fire department remodel stuff, and he's like, that's not a remodel thing. That's a fix-it thing. So
yeah, that's a repair.
So that's the big proposal I have for the week. It's $70,861. That's $60,000 for concrete work and $10,000 for repairs that will be line itemed as they go. And that's the $10,000 for the column repair. It might be $100. It might be. It's not to exceed $10,000.
Not that it makes a difference, but how far out are you planning cutting?
It's rough.
Yeah, concrete. How? Is it 12 feet? Just curious.
If you look at the concrete slab, that is over 2,000 square feet.
Okay.
So 2,000 square feet by 8 inches thick. So it's that whole concrete patch what they're planning. Because it goes clear to that basin. If we walk out there after the meeting,
right,
you'll see the basin.
Yep.
And I don't know, there's no way to tell which way those lines go. So that's the building stuff.
How long has that been out there? 20? When was this built? 20 years ago?
23 years.
Harold, have you been involved in the process?
Mm-hmm. Appropriations, that you get.
Yeah, that's what he's doing right now. He's messing with appropriations so that he can transfer this money that isn't done in the usual way, yeah. Right? This isn't usually how I see.
The quick set, I mean, it's been right on within 24 hours with the width of those vehicles,
yeah.
8 inches.
That's what they do for bridges. And then what they do for bridges, they actually put essentially, what's it called? It's like painter's cloth. It's not what it is, and they soak with water.
Mm-hmm.
So as the top doesn't cure faster than the bottom.
So usually a proposal is put in the back of your packet and I see what Dotson's going to do and all those details. This is me listening to...
What's in this?
Yeah. His writing is there. Like, I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with the process.
Okay.
Are you comfortable with the process?
I am. I have talked to Dr. Benson about this. Doug has explained it to me.
And then that's it.
So what you're saying is incorporate this into like a Herald's report for a...
If you want
to... You just said you weren't comfortable with the process.
Yeah, usually this is there. Okay. So I know somebody...
Yeah, it's a quote, not just a phone call.
Right, it's not just a conversation. I think it would be worth this. It's only good for 30 days, but there's something in here.
Okay.
Well, we'll leave it alone and I'll do it.
You are concerned with the way this was presented. I did hear about this before. I knew this was a problem. And you told me you were doing it in-house, and I didn't like that any better.
The in-house one is
you guys
ours.
Aren't.
Maintenance.
I've never heard of maintenance. I've only heard of the fire department. And so this is an improvement over doing it in-house, because I just don't know that we have the skill set, right?
Yeah. Not great, it's kind of great.
He's good.
Quick set.
He's good. Not that good.
He lays tar, lays everything.
I don't think the guys do.
I saw it. You were down in the hole?
No.
You do it. You hear that.
I was down
so,
in the hole.
If you want more detailed information, I'll get it to you. That's the short.
I'm not to understand it anyway. I mean, I don't work for the Dotson company, right? I just needed to know there was an actual quote.
Yeah, so I can shop. I don't suggest shopping with what this project is based on the scope of that project. Like, we have our guys, like our electrician, Kevin. We use Kevin because he knows our buildings. That's who it is. He's a good guy. We don't have any issues. We had zero issues with our building that they just did with the concrete, with the approach, with all those things. So I don't want to reinvent the wheel and say, hopefully they get it right, right? They kind of prove themselves.
So if you try to get somebody else, I've tried to do concrete, and they're booked until October.
Right.
A lot of these companies are so far, they have jobs stacked up so much on top of each other that I can't even get on some schedules for concrete.
It's an up to kind of thing.
That's
for that amount.
But they don't, once they tear up what's down
there. They don't know what it is,
yeah,
right?
How bad the pipe is, if it's used up, they got to replace 10 feet or 100 feet or 93 feet.
Yeah. Okay, so staff has researched this completely. We have a formal quote, $72,781 to pull this off. It was unbudgeted, and Gavin has done the appropriation. Because I guess it's an emergency. It has to be done this summer yet. So it's been there for 20 years. Yeah. I don't know why it's so important this year, why this wasn't budgeted and put in the process like normal.
Well, we wouldn't have to do it, but the damage to the building is just going to get worse and worse because it is affecting
the northwest column.
Yes.
So if I can the downspouts back into that pipe, that's where we figured it out.
Yeah.
So they're like, hey, this isn't connected. So I go connect it, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. So then the dots kind of started to align, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute. So I can clearly go look that downspout up, and business as usual, but all the water that comes out when they wash their bays, which has changed over the last 2 years since they went full-time because they weren't washing bays and fire trucks every day like they do now. So all the volume of water has increased. Well, if I hook the downspouts up, everything comes off the roof is now just going to make that broken pipe that much bigger because now it's got a cavity. It's the same thing that happened. That's happened down in Banks. We found it during building construction. Part of the parking lot didn't have time to fix it because of the season, right? It was fine until it's not. Now I have a hole in the parking lot this week. So that's in-house, and that's what's going to keep happening. Stone's going to keep washing.
Like a sinkhole out. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. So, I mean, do I want to say it's an emergency end of the world? No, but then a fire truck goes over it, and they drop 3 feet.
Then it becomes an emergency.
And now we've wrecked a fire truck. I mean, I'll gamble however anybody wants to. I mean, it's not... My best advice is you fix it early. It's cheaper to fix it early. Let's get it fixed right so they don't have any issues. My proposal part was at the end of things, so I just jumped to the square buildings. It was there, and I got to give it to you now.
All right. I'll make a motion to accept the quote from the Datsun Company for the repair work. $60,861 for concrete work and a $10,000 allowance, totaling $70,861 for the work quoted in their quote dated June 13, 2025.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Doug's got to know about the twin post. Look.
So the other one is the lift that has been budgeted for. We found it cheaper. We went from, I want to say, $12,000 to $10,000 just for the lift itself. We do install it in-house. There's nothing to it. Six bolts per meter. Oh, it's not. It's a little harder than that. But essentially, that's what it is.
Where's the quote?
Down
at the OT, they
the
had.
Oh, that's four. Yeah, that's the big word.
It's nothing fancy. It does have a attachment that's in that quote that gives you the ability to lift lawnmowers. So EJ's not laying on his lawnmower trying to take off mower blades. It'll do ambulances. It won't do fire trucks. It'll do their utility, it'll do their explorers, it'll do all of our cars. And I go into the reasoning why, but I don't think I really need to go into
safety.
It's the bottom line.
All right, I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of the twin post lift 10 APX from Benben per their attached quote of $10,808.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to increase appropriation repairs and maintenance 2191-220-323-50 in the amount of $75,000.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Good job,
Dan. All right. All right. Anything else, Doug?
Cemetery or stuff. You're going to get along this one, right? So Sims is up and running. We're using it. It is obviously cloud-based, so we log in from anywhere to input information. Once we got it up and running, we started finding some discrepancies. Those discrepancies are essentially documentation over the last 30 years. Doesn't matter who, what, it's not about that. It's the way information was recorded. It's stored in volumes and books down here. It's stored in files in my office. all the information that the guy came in and scanned and did all that Excel stuff came from my office. That was probably not the best move. But at the same time, we didn't want to offer those books off to their historical documents to a certain degree. Some guy that we don't really know who's not paid scanning those things. Those and those don't talk necessarily. They don't speak the same language all the time. So when Sims got uploaded, everything went great. It is great because it's based on the information I have in my office. Well, then you go to these books, and you go, wait a minute. So it might show John Doe Berry here in our books, but over in these books, he's not recorded. Vice versa. He might be recorded in those books, but he's not recorded in our books. So there's a lot of work that has to be done to get this thing to be accurate. So with the information we gave Sims, they were at like 99% accuracy. There was one grave off. We found it was in Swan Creek. It was in the wrong book on our end. So we fixed that, but as we go through it, and if you go through the maps, you can actually see headstones. You can see where graves are sunken in. There's some buyer unknown. It shows it's full, but they don't know who it is. So now it's going to be a lot of ground upholding the right kind of direction to get this. So before this thing goes live to the public, I think we need to slow down. I mean, get all that information in. So when you go home and look up GraveFinder and it shows, no, your grandma's not there. Well, actually, grandma is. It just isn't in the system. And the only way we would have found it is going through Sims. Because otherwise, you're looking at a map on a piece of paper that says this, and you're like, oh, yep, they're right there. But then you go out to the, and they're not there. Or vice versa. So.
Yeah, I think we absolutely should get it right. I just don't know that we should have you doing that work. That doesn't add up to me. Your Terry Sexton job, like the small portion of your job, and data management isn't any part of your job. I think that could be handled with like an auditor of sorts. I was thinking of your friend Trudy, who you volunteered at the beginning of this project to be of assistance to us. We would pay her, not volunteer her.
Well, I kind of understand where you're coming from, but this has been a process that we've been trying to get right.
We have to get it right.
I know. So what I'm saying, though, we would have to retrain that person, because when I've been down there, you know, I got four graves down there, and this is how things started. Looking at three different, three different folders. You're looking at lateral. He's already familiar with that. He can take a half an hour out of the day. I'd rather pay him an extra hour overtime to sort, because he's familiar with it. He's familiar with the deeds. He's familiar with the files. He's familiar with everything. My personal opinion, we would compensate this person, but we're going to have to train her from ground up. Yeah. So,
how much work has involved, do you think, Doug, to get that all the records on the same page, more or less?
If it was just my 40-hour-a-week job, probably 2 months. There's a lot there. And that's not even including Swan Creek. I mean, there's just a lot.
So it's been an area that's been accumulating.
The problem is
I'm not blaming anybody.
No, so basically, picture this. If we call this grave 1-1, that whole row's wrong, and it was actually grave 3. So, and we go 1-2-3-4. Next lot, 1-2-3-4. But if we recorded this as 3, or as 1, and it's actually 3, everything down the line's wrong. They're graded in the right spot, the deed says in the right spot, but it's not recorded in the right. They're physically in the right spot. It's not recorded in the right spot. So, without having
I'm afraid we went to Sims too soon. Is what I'm sitting here hearing you say. Like we weren't
we did.
Organized enough.
But we would have never caught it without Sims.
Can you change the run our end? What's happening to the deed on the purchaser's end?
That's where lies the problem. That's exactly the problem.
We just basically invalidated their information, not their ownership.
Right. So not all of them are wrong. I just because you got one row.
He understands our cemetery, but somebody who knows how to do forensic accounting, you know, this is about data management. It's.
Well, I don't know if Kathleen and Doug could coincide and try to work together. I mean, this has been ongoing for a long time, and again, why I brought it up was because
Right, you couldn't find what you needed to find.
Right, it was like going through 10 folders trying to figure out who was neighbor.
Who's
next to Trudy?
Who's your upper neighbor?
The fix is just going to the volume back here.
Why fix what? Explain what you just said to me.
Can we go back 5 years or whatever? But historically, if there's a mistake, could we just accept the mistake? Because otherwise, all people going, here, here's an updated deed with the right
information. Not so much the deed, it's more how, it's not always just the deed, that's the problem.
Hey, Doug, how about you and I take this offline, we'll talk about it.
Perfect.
Let my mind go with your mind, and we'll come up with this.
Good idea, because you got the markers.
On the best way.
Yes.
To move forward, because I agree with Barbara, it's not, if there's that much time, potentially, it's not you, for sure.
Not you.
If it was a day or two, then I understand, but if it's that much time, there's a learning curve that someone else could have, so.
And I don't think that it's, that there are really that many mistakes, this is verifying.
Verifying it, and
I love doing the audit. I think we should do an audit, and somebody go out there and touch what they need to touch. I want to make sure that that spot I bought doesn't have a body in it.
That $50 one down
think
there.
Gavin's offer is a great
one. I
plan.
Yeah,
me
too.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
And then you can come back.
Trudy does have an accountant friend who might be able to put these pieces together.
I'm trying to think who I told you.
Diane.
Oh, yes. Yes.
All right, anything else, Linda?
You got questions for me other than home?
All right.
Playground
event. We have $50,000 in the budget. A lot of these playground grants, which I'm not a grant writer, are for 50-50. So if we know that we have 50 grand to start with, that means we can work up to roughly 100,000. Mrs.
Keith. Space for 100,000?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine we have enough space out there for $100,000.
100,000 would probably
that
just fit into the corner of these chairs.
No, that blue piece of blue equipment out
there
is $225,000 replaced.
Today?
Yes. And that's through Pencure, who we used to buy it originally from, and I have no clue what we originally paid for it. So, Kiefer's the one that wrote that letter like 2 months
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
I found out that she teaches grant writing classes. So, I don't know if that's the person we reach out to and say, hey, we'll pay you dollar X. That's up to you. But
we have a grant writer on staff.
But she does probably playgrounds more specialized? Or
I don't know. I just found out she teaches a grant writing class at UT.
Yeah, we can ask her to become our grant writer.
I'm not the grant writer guy. We know this.
It's about the project, though. She can't write the grant without the project details. I'm trying
right
to explain this.
So, that's what I said. I'm working on all the, what can we get for $100,000? I do know an OTA. It happens every year. We go down there and you're like, hey, we have to take the grander. If we buy last year's leftover models,
yeah,
we get a lot more for our money. So instead of saying I have to have the green leaf treehouse, I need six swings and whatever.
I say this about fire trucks all the time. Do you really need the compartment right there, or can you live with the compartment over here?
Right. So if we have everything in order, then when we go to OTA this year, and if there's a grant available, like, there's a lot of ifs here.
Oh, there's always a grant available. Are we eligible for it?
Yeah. Right. Or we could also reach out to Josh Williams' office. So this capital budget. We've got, that's where through when Derek Marin was our representative, we got funds for the pickleball court, $50,000 for that. And also some funds for the sledding hill that then came from the state capital improvement budget.
So that gets put on Harold's list. Can you talk to the, I know we have the fire department grant writer, but we had two other people you were working with. And add Mrs. Keener to the list. No, that's the street.
There's probably Mrs. Keener somewhere in Monclova.
There is.
Well, and I think the other thing that we have to think about is for both plays, we had a committee that went through and selected what we needed. So I think that process needs to happen as well.
Yes. It's not a Doug project. Yeah. It's a committee project.
Right.
Is there a PTO over at the elementary school?
No, we just want a few people at Chuck.
I know, but I mean if there are a couple that are maybe of township residents.
I might make a suggestion then, because I came past Strawberry Acres today. I was out running an errand, and they have a cute red, white, and blue, just a small, like, look for younger kids. Maybe you could read to the administrator village and maybe see where, you know, what their contact. I mean, it was a very nice little gym-type thing set together and right there at the Strawberry Acres Park, and maybe they could guide us along in trying to get some younger. We want the younger playground stuff.
I think there's two tracks going on here. When Trudy and I first talked about this, we were just going to take the
something out of the square we already have and replace it with a new piece, right? Something a little more fun. Now we're talking, let's go big time and make another square of playground.
The thought is make that an actual rectangle. One, it speeds up the process of mowing.
Yeah, perfect.
Right.
And, you're adding a bigger piece of equipment. Trudy and I were just thinking something. So maybe we could do the...
No, I was thinking about what we had, adding on.
Yes, maybe we can do something little right now and make this grant writing project...
bigger future later.
Yes.
So do you want a committee for that? And if you do, why don't we use the person that wrote the question?
You should.
I should.
Kathleen manages the park to a certain degree.
Yeah.
She's like, don't look at me like this.
I think you were on the committee for this one here.
Mm-hmm. So
were you on the committee for this one over here? I was on the committee for this one over here.
Look what we got.
I know.
So someone, whoever can reach out to Mrs. Weaver and see if she wants to be involved.
Well, you've been our only point of contact, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I think we're talking about something right now.
Yep,
I will
get a
old equipment right now. Not anything huge, but we want a huge plan.
Just realize we're not budgeted this year for playground equipment.
Yep.
Looking at 26.
26, we have budgeted
$50,000 that turned into $100,000. So if we find a great piece of equipment to improve the park right now, Trudy and I are interested in doing that.
Okay. I will reach out. Actually, I just got an email from Sten today if we were happy, blah, blah, blah.
All right. Anything else for Doug?
He always takes too long.
Oh, my hair
goes on and on and on, Chuck.
Harold, do we have a resolution?
Well, I do have one other. Well, it's in Harold's report, but I did want to ask Doug. Weckerly and Alvin, Harold's were us getting control of a roundabout over there. I think, Harold, you said you have something for us to do tonight concerning that one. And I know, you know, like it, but I think if we do the same thing on that roundabout that you did on the other one, it's more maintenance free. It's not like it's...
That's exactly what's planned.
Okay. Just, you know, like the river rock with a few of the trees that are left up there, it makes it easier in the maintenance department.
So before I'm choked, I will tell you this. Holloway and Salisbury is not real pretty. It's full of weeds. It's my understanding that that roundabout is not technically maintained by us until the end of the Irish. It opened. However, we weeded it 3 times.
So now we clean it.
So it's ours. The last one we did was 3 weeks ago. I drove by it today, and it looks like it in Waterville, Monclova did 6 months ago. So our direction was to let things turn brown and cut it. Things aren't brown. It needs weeded.
That's tulips, not things. Tulips. Tulips.
No, there's weeds in there.
Yeah.
No, there's trees in there. It's bad. Like,
the tulips aren't the problem. Nobody's complaining about tulips sitting up here. I don't know. We didn't get control of it till October. I don't believe we don't have to control it till October. I can't wait to see that language.
It's who told us that? It was, and I'm saying October-ish.
Whatever.
Because that's when it opened.
Mike or Jason, one of the two.
Because whoever installed all the tulips was...
We had to wait until the spring, and after that we got control. Not
mind it.
Yeah. And if we don't have control yet, we need to call that company daily and say it needs weeding. Happy to take a shift.
We will tomorrow. We will weed it tomorrow. But, like...
You're saying that having the roundabouts we want takes a certain amount of time from the maintenance department, and you don't know if that's cost effective or the right way to use your time or your budget or your money or whatever. I hear what you're saying, and I said, again, we sat up here and said, hire someone to do it. What's that quote? To maintain these roundabouts. We've taken over control. We didn't want to. Chuck and I sat up here and said, this is a slippery slope. We don't want to do it. But it looks so terrible, we have no choice. Now we have no choice again. We got to get them maintained.
They're pretty well maintained. It's free except the one over at Holloway and Salisbury. Everything else is
Duck
Rock
decent.
And River Rock with a few trees. So they go in and they spray the grass growing out of it, and the only one, am I right? The only one of high maintenance is the Holloway Salisbury?
And I want that one at Waterville, Monclova, and Albin, or whatever this, Waterville, Monclova, Monclova.
Instead?
I would love it, but you just put River Rock up on a big hill with four trees.
They're going to be paved, yeah.
So River Rock is what the concrete on, that's why it is the way it's the way.
It's just a big pile of River Rock with four trees on it. It's not any more attractive than, I don't want to have this discussion anymore. Thanks. We own the one at Salisbury and Holloway, and it needs to be cleaned up. If your maintenance department can't do that, please get a quote for somebody who can do it. Thank you.
I'll go out and weed.
Yeah, it'd do me good.
All right, Harold.
It's a good idea, Trudy. We should do it.
Yeah.
A couple of...
Mama Yo said so.
OPWC things we need to...
We've got two OPWC projects that are taking place next year, and... County or the OPWC wants us to pass a resolution of intent for both of those projects.
I move to approve resolution 072120251 declaring the official intent and reasonable expectation on Clova Township on behalf of the state of Ohio, the borrower to reimburse its road and bridge fund for CL12AC and CL13AC. Renwood, the Bridget Renwood east of Monclova Road broke with the proceeds of the tax exempt state of Ohio, and resolution 072120252 declaring official intent and reasonable expectation of Monclova Township on behalf of the state of Ohio, the borrower to reimburse its road and bridge fund for CL08AC and CL09AC Monclova Road. Waterville Monclova Road roundabout project with proceeds of the tax exempt debt of the state of Ohio.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
And next item is the Weckerly at Monclova roundabout. The county engineer has provided a joint cooperation agreement that we need to approve so we can take over that roundabout.
Move to approve resolution 072120255-03 approving a joint cooperation agreement between the Lucas County Engineer and Monclova Township regarding maintenance of the roundabout landscaping at the intersection of Weckerly and Monclova Road.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Motion B.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
I move to approve resolution 072120255-04, consenting to the construction of a roundabout at the intersection of US 28 and Strayer Road in Monclova Township, Lucas County, Ohio, known as ODOT Project Identification Number 116068.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
I move to declare the 2012 International 7400 truck number 16 obsolete and authorized for sale on govdeals.com, I think.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
The rest is information. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Thank you.
All right, that concludes our agenda. Are there any questions or comments from the public regarding the agenda items tonight? If not, I'll make a motion to adjourn from general session to executive session to discuss potential real estate action. 7:33, I'll make a motion to return to general session from executive session.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
At this time, we have no action items, and I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on motion. Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Thank you.